Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back to school, back to school, we're going back to school.
I need to go back to the laundry. I you know, there are times where I'm like, I'm so relaxed doing World's Greatest Dad podcast. And yeah, you know, it's like I've said before, fatherhood, much like acting, is not something you brush your teeth, comb your hair, shower, shave, change shirts. But this is one of my favorite, most comfortable shirts, and I'm comfortable talking about being a dad, so I guess I'm doing something right.
Sure. Nice mason jar. Cheers. Yeah. Look, here's the thing. You know, I didn't say it the first time, but perhaps you should shower, shave, brush your teeth to go on to a set. Maybe it's been a while. You know, I don't. I understand the, the desire not to, but, you know, I think your kids would appreciate the breath. You know, smelling a little bit mintier than just au natural.
You know, it is fair to say I am. I stay at home does reflect a lot of the type of dad I am in the grand scheme of dads. There are, and it's gotten to the point where at times at pickup, if I'm dressed like I don't know, like I am going to set, if you will, my son will be like, oh, I thought maybe we could go get a boba or an ice cream, but looks like you have to go somewhere, which is not the case every day. Because there's some dads who pick up and moms or whatever who clearly look like they report to an office 5 days a week. Maybe more, you know, people
right.
are out
I know.
There
we
working,
we
but...
So today in New York City, September 4th, is the first day of school. Finally. Finally.
Wow.
I love that. I was beginning to think the day would never come. And I did see a few parents in the, like the Ahmadinejad, like kind of white button down, no tie suit jacket. And I was in I wasn't in this fancy thing. I was in just, you know, t-shirt, dropping the kids off. First day was chaotic, let me tell you, because they've got all these different grades in the yard, and they've got, like, teachers with signs, like they're at the airport, like, you know, Miller, looking for Miller, you know. But instead it just says, like, the class number, and it was kind of nuts. And our son is starting kindergarten, and he had, like, this giant bag of supplies because they asked for, like, 5 boxes of Kleenex and 6 reams of paper and 25 notebooks. And the school supplies thing has gotten out of hand, and he can't carry it all. And he's got this big backpack, and I just kind of, like, watched him trudging along, and his teacher speaking to him in French, like, I don't speak French, so, you know, that's how it sounds to me. And then our daughter, going into second grade, she was just kind of like, I went to go check on her cause they happened to be at the same drop off spot in the yard. My wife said, why don't you go check on Cece? And I went over there and she said, why are you still here? Why are you still here? And that is the difference. Our son, a little anxious, a little nervous starting kindergarten. It's a big deal. I remember kindergarten. I remember a lot of things from kindergarten, some of which I won't talk about here. It got a little crazy. In Edison, New Jersey. I remember, I don't know if this will ring a bell for you, the way we learned letters was the letter people. Have you ever heard of the
Yeah,
letter people?
the show with the puppets?
No, it was the letter people was, I remember them as they were maybe it was a show. They were characters. Each letter was a character. And consonants were male and
We're
vowels were
female.
female.
This is a puppet
And
TV show, a scary one from the 70s. Was Mr. T tall teeth? Was Mr. B beautiful buttons?
well, here's the thing. We never watched it. We only, I think there were anthropomorphic letters on the ceiling or something, or on the up there. And then each letter had a song. And I remember A was like, "I'm Miss A, at you, at you, at you."
That was a
And
sh
Miss,
oh, you literally got a taste of what's just waiting for you. This show was so creepy. It was almost, I think I used to watch it and I'd get scared, and it was full on, I think, from the 70s. Like the puppets, you could see a little bit of the metal, like that would move the hand. And there was some, they referenced stuff from the 70s. They referenced like just one of those like Buck Rogers kinds of shows. Like there was an episode, three part episode. I mean, this was almost like a precursor to, 13 episode story arcs where they'd be like, part two, Mr. V returning from the void. And he had like, he was a fashionable guy. He had vests and stuff. Neil, it's funny. If this was 20 years ago, I'd be like, you got to get this on DVD. You got to get this on DVD. I almost feel like you should. I almost feel like it's worthy having the physical product in your hand, because that's how just you are in for something. And I mean, my God, the idea, the opportunity that you could expose your kindergarten, your son to it. Your daughter, she might get freaked out too, but your son for sure will have the same scars on his brain that mine has from watching the Letter People. Oh, you're so stoked. You're so stoked.
Did Heath watch The Letter People?
Nah, this stuff is lost in the past. I mean, literally, as you brought this up, I'm like, oh my God. I think at one point, I would, Brearley's 5 years older than me, so we would have these kind of discussions of, do you remember this? And she's like, no. Like maybe when I babysat, I would, remember whatever that is. And that's a whole other conversation that we've had with Heath, where he's like, wait, how old were you? He starts doing the math, and I'm like, yeah, well, that's life. But no, this is literally stuff locked in the past. I probably. It back when Firefox was a browser was probably the last time I even bothered to try and look at it. But I know we're talking about the same thing. I remember Ms. A. Yes, I remember all this. Yes, E. Miss E. She was like a very
Excited.
strong,
Excited.
yeah, Miss Exercise. She was like a basically
Oh.
a not a bodybuilder, physical trainer, kind of like that one lady who made the news recently with her controversial opinions from the one from The Biggest Loser. I can't even
Oh,
remember.
yeah, Jillian Michaels. Yeah.
She's a real package, she is. Wow.
We
Wow.
watched the we watched that documentary, Fit for TV.
Oh yeah, how's that one? Ooh, that's what Neil's watching. That's what Dad's watching, Fit for
What am I
TV.
watching? Well, I'm watching a lot of different things. I'm watching I watched that. We hold on, but Letter People, I don't think they're going to do the Letter People because it's probably dated. But also my son already knows letters, and this is the thing that's interesting is I remember learning to read in first grade. That was the curriculum back then in the 90s. And now the kids learn to read in kindergarten. So they already know letters. It's over. There's no letter people in kindergarten. These kids are way ahead of the game. They're ready. What am I watching? I watched the Fit for TV documentary, and it was fine. It was fine. I guess the big takeaway is they're not so nice to these contestants. They kind of like maybe you shouldn't lose like 200 pounds in 6 weeks on a television show. And we're watching the Hunting Wives. You're familiar with the Hunting Wives?
Well, I am because apparently the author is from Austin, and I believe so. And I think like the local media is like, oh my God, the number one show on Netflix is, it's really interesting because I, live here for 10 years now, which is kind of wild. And they love their local, homegrown celebrity, if you will. If anything's related to Austin, it's true with Matthew McConaughey, Glenn Powell. Oh, they love that. They love themselves from Glenn Powell. My God. And to be fair, he was fantastic in Top Gun 2, period. I mean, he, yeah, I tip my cap when it's due. But yeah, Hunting Wives is I've not seen it. You know, it's weird. I don't really do a lot. I don't know what I do with my life. I don't even watch popular shows, you know?
I imagine sometimes you're just sitting in this same spot with an empty mason jar waiting for me to click record.
Pretty
Is that
much. Yeah, pretty much. Oh yeah. It's really bizarre. It's really bizarre.
Well, Hunting Wives is being described as Big Little Lies for the MAGA crowd, of which I am not a member. It's got all you could ever want. It's got intrigue. It's got deceit. It's got adult content. It's got crime. It's got mystery. It's a fun watch.
I feel like to a certain degree in this era where the bingeable series, the s series that's streaming on X, Y, or Z is the A-list content, right? I feel like a lot of this just turns into soap opera. You know what I mean? They keep you hooked. I mean, soap opera being never ending and, completely, basically just burning the candle at both ends until there's nothing left. But it is just like, oh, who's gonna? I mean, even with the Sopranos, like it got to a point where I think there was a comment where you'd have kind of a weird episode, kind of something different, maybe edgy, and to be blunt, more on the boring side. And the comments would be less yakking, more whacking. Like, I want to see somebody get whacked. And, to, and then sometimes it's the life and death stuff is quite intriguing and smart, like Squid Game. That's actually something where it's like, it's just so brutal, but also interesting, like pushing the human psyche to go, my God, you would actually do this. Like, that's something that does work. And obviously, the best drama there is, the best drama there is life or death, right? Or will I win Tournament of Champions? Will I win 100,000? The next culinary competition. I'm kind of curious. Based on our shared professional history, have you seen the new culinary competition trailer for Netflix? It's in partnership with Culinary Institute of America. I know it because I did a show with Kelsey Bernard Clark, and she's in it. And it's all these. It's so crazy. Getting old, Neil. I see these like young chefs who are literally like I think CIA grads who are going to be offered like a chunk of money. I don't want to say half a million. That sounds like too much. But I could it could be it's something profound, but they gotta cook for frickin' Thomas Keller. Kelsey Bernard Clark's in there too, as I mentioned, who won Top Chef a couple years ago. Anywho, all that good stuff. All that good stuff. But yeah, it's a new one. Just thinking, you're still got your fingers in some pies of, food TV, which let's be honest, is mostly competition. That's what people love to watch.
Well,
Guaranteed
it's just
drama.
steaks, you know. It's and I don't
Steaks.
mean steaks on the grill,
Grill. No.
because there's no steaks in steaks, and so that's why you have to create the steaks of Will Ollie beat John Thompson, who will be the ultimate god of grill. That should be a
Yeah.
joke. God of grill, god of grill gods.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the old note, oh, we're getting too inside baseball here, but grilling competition, not really the most well-rounded elements of competition. I think you ultimately need a fine dining. As Nick Briscoe said once, it's got to be aspirational. Yeah, a lot of inside baseball here. A lot of food TV talk. But, you know, let's get back to the real truth, which is...
Let's get back to what... Well, we're still on what we're watching, right? And I want to know if you have been watching... because we're just getting back into this, right? Like, we've been off.
It's been a minute.
You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. We're so prolific, you know, we're throwing out...
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Out apps every week. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. No, we took some time. We took some time to be with our families, to explore other endeavors, and we've come back together. And so I wonder if over the summer you had a chance to watch or become familiar with the phenomenon that is called K-pop Demon Hunters.
You know, it's definitely been in the queue. You know, I mean, Heath does consume so much anime. He consumes so much anime, like... Just when I'm like, oh, let me watch that. But the crazy thing is, you know, we would kind of, I would, you know, watch these shows. And we really bonded over a few of them. But there's been a shift. And I'll ask him about K-pop Demon Hunters. I'm sure he'll be like, yeah, I watch it or whatever. And what's kind of crazy is, in the case of your daughter, who's in second grade, am I right?
So that's correct. And your son, who's in nine.
He is in the last year of middle school. Like, it's crazy. And that's a whole thing to unpack. But I will tell you this, like, at your daughter's age is when he started, I swear it was around then, because I kind of go, where did these last couple years go where it's like, he's like completely transformed. By the way, the shows we are keeping up with now, he's into season two of Breaking Bad. Okay? He is watching season two of Breaking Bad. Oh, yeah. He finished season one. The thing is, like, they already see the short form clips. He already knows you know, some elements of this stuff. He knows it's cool. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what's happening now. But when I think about your daughter's age is when he would be, you know, all of a sudden, like, just, man, I'm going to fire up Netflix on my own. You know, you're still sleeping on a Saturday. I'm just going to binge and chill. And what's funny is in, you know, unlike our era of linear Saturday morning TV, give him 3 hours and he's crushing through a whole genre of stuff that we didn't even have access to, which is pretty wild. But yes, my son has started eighth grade and that's been a big, I was freaking out at the end of fifth, and then middle school has just these last couple of years, and it's just more the realization of this time passing. Over the summer, I know you did a lot of traveling, and when we went traveling in August, we had Heath do a volleyball camp in Seattle. Volleyball has become a sport that we think might be the sport he may stick with through high school. Something is a focal point. The dream, of course, is could there be that extracurricular activity that becomes an opportunity for him to, you know, use it as leverage for college, because those years are rapidly approaching. And, you know, they do give out money for volleyball, believe it or not. More schools have it than you think. Men's volleyball, it's true. But we were up in Seattle, and he actually, speaking of college, did the volleyball camp at the University of Washington. So we got a little taste of like, hey, let's expose him to a college, you know, like look at this school. And also take him out of an area because he has basically lived in Austin from 3 till well into almost 14, you know, a lot of years right there, almost 11. And yeah, you know, so as literally like we're diving into 8th grade, but we're starting to even think about what it'll be like to explore that college journey of where would you like to apply to? What part of the country do you want to live in? What, maybe it's here. I don't know. It's weird. Weird stuff. Yeah.
I have an update.
Yeah.
You know, I want to give a breaking news update for you. My wife is she's out of the apartment right now. She is on her way to the grocery store, and she saw our son at recess, and he waved.
So he has just started kindergarten.
That's correct.
So this is
No,
the real deal.
he knows his letters. But yes, first, and he's in an immersion French program where they go do French one day and then English the next day and then French one day and then English
Yeah.
the next day. New York Times did a whole podcast about this. It's called Nice White Parents. It's about the how gentrification is destroying the fabric of our country. Anyway, my kids are in a French program,
Yeah.
and he yeah, it's great. You know, I wish it was Spanish, but it is what they offer. And so today, yeah, like I said, his teacher's just speaking to him completely in French. I'm sure he has no idea what's going on, but he did
Yeah.
wave to my wife as she went to the grocery store to pick up fixins for lasagna that she'll be making this evening. You know, great first night meal for the kids, real down home. And also supplies to make his cake for his birthday. He already turned 5, but here's what we did. So his birthday is the end of August, and you know, typically over the last 4 years, we've had parties at the park because we're not going to pay for a space. It's nice out. But it's a hurricane season. It's always been like 50% chance of torrential downpour. And also people are on vacation, so half the people you invite can't come and his friends
Right.
can't be there. So we decided we went to the beach over his actual birthday
Yeah.
here. And it was
Yeah.
fun. We went to Long Beach Island. He had a good time. We got him a little cake at the local ShopRite. It was an octopus cake. He was happy with it. Not actually made out of octopus, just kind of had like a frosting octopus, although I do love octopus. I had some last night, actually, which I'll tell you about later. And so then we were like, okay, so we're not going to do it on his actual birthday weekend. So should we do it the following weekend? And we were like, well, that's Labor Day weekend, right? And that's silly because
Yeah.
then people are still traveling. And so we decided, you know what? Let's do it the first weekend school's back in because everybody's here. Who's going away? School just started. Who's going away the first weekend? You know, it's over. Summer's done. I mean, it's not really done, but so we're going to be doing his birthday party this weekend, and it's going to be board game themed. We always come up with these crazy themes, you know. And he last year we did cereal. Year before that, I think we did camp. Year before that, we did
Wait,
not my first rodeo because
cereal? That's a theme?
it was, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's right.
Cereal.
We did not my first rodeo because it was his second birthday, and then his first birthday, did we have a theme? I gotta look back. I don't remember.
One day, your son's going to do a podcast and be like, my parents had themes for my parties that were so kind of obscure and unnecessarily creative, like cereal.
Well, so we're doing board games. We're gonna have like giant board games.
That makes
We're gonna
sense.
have a design your own board game.
Wow, that's
And my wife
ambitious.
is making a Candyland cake, so I'll keep you posted.
Wow, she's making the cake.
That's right.
Wow. And she's making
That's
lasagna.
right. Well, that's just for dinner, but yes, yeah, it's gonna be great, I'm
I mean,
sure.
these are making impressive things.
Yeah.
I don't make cake, and I actually don't make lasagna. Yeah, that is something I like to outsource.
Perhaps you should.
Whew, man. Oh, and you had, was this the year you first took your kids out internationally?
So, you know, we went to the Dominican Republic in February. Cool flex, I know, you know. And that was delightful. You know, made sure we didn't forget our passports. And it was great. But we were at a kind of like a resort type place. We didn't really leave the premises. This vacation, we went to Paris. We had a wedding in Mallorca, so we went to Paris, and then we went to Mallorca, and then we came back to Barcelona, and then we came all the way back home to the old, good old US of A. Yeah, it was pretty exhausting, bringing a 4 and 7 year old around huge cities, even beach towns like Mallorca, because it is hard to get around. So I would say it was fun but exhausting for anyone out there thinking about international travel. I would say do it, you know. Even if you end up with your son screaming, crying on a street in Paris, throwing a shoe at you, and people think you're abducting him, do it. Because, you know, the good outweighs the bad. We had so many great times, so many great memories. And, you know, I think sometimes about a colleague I used to have at the old Food Network, and I remember she was taking a trip, a family trip to Italy, and her son was about to go off to college. And she, I believe, had lost her job like right around the time she was about to take the trip. And we were like, "Are you still gonna go?" And she was like, "This is it. This is the opportunity to do it, you know, because after this, who knows? He could have a summer job, he could have an internship, you know, or he can come with us, you know, but it'll be in his 20s. Like, it's just the period of time. I know we talk about it a lot, but it is so finite. Maybe it's, you know, hey, Captain Obvious over here, but I think we were like, look, we'll never again take a trip to these European cities with a 4 and 7 year old. It will never happen again. Perhaps 5 and 8, you know, probably not, but you know, you never know. Perhaps 6 and 9, but I think like they are these little people in this one moment, and you get out of it what you can. And I think that's a lesson, you know, we're continuing to learn is, you know, rather than waiting for that perfect time, that perfect trip, that perfect age, that it's not going to come, you know. I think you then become so fixated on waiting that even if you do end up deciding to take the vacation years from now, the expectations on it are so high that then if anything goes wrong, you feel like it was a disaster and a failure. No, there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows, there's going to be mediums. And I think that's all part of the thing. Shira sent me a great meme that was like, you know, we travel internationally with our kids because we really want them to experience chicken tenders all over the world. And, you know, yeah, some kids, you know, don't eat, they don't have a very expansive palate. And that's okay. You try. My son tried a snail. I don't think he loved it, but he tried it. He tried it, you know, like this is part of, and I understand it's a privilege, and not everyone can or wants to or feels ready to travel outside the States. But I would say if you are thinking about it, if there is a path, and you're just a little bit, I don't know if we're ready, go for it. Go for it. You won't know until you try. And I think you can try and see that you can do it. We came back in one piece. We have several fake labubus in tow, as
What's
well
a
as some gear.
labubu? A what? A what?
Ollie.
What? What now? What now?
All right, you don't know K-pop Demon Hunters. You don't know Labubu.
Didn't,
Where
first of all,
have
back it up.
you been?
Back it up. I did not say that. I haven't watched it, but I'm well aware of it. I have Netflix. I may not have HBO Max like you, or Paramount Plus, or the 17 streaming service. You have Stars.
I don't have
Jesus.
Stars. I got rid of Paramount Plus when they canned Colbert. That's my small act of resistance.
Take a stand. Hey, you know what? These days I'm into it too. We'll unpack that one in a second. Ollie gets political. I'm getting there. What do I have to lose? Nothing. But you know, let's get back to the heart of it, because I was very, very excited about a
Please.
lot of things you did. But I could not agree with you more. I think that you know, we've just gone to Asia, but we've gone twice now in the last 2 years, and you know, to a degree, COVID certainly stopped the idea of international travel, but it also started it, because once once COVID was over, or more importantly, the travel bans were lifted in Japan, we were like, let's go. And I think people have understood that. And I think suddenly when you all collectively, as a world, experience what it's like to not be able to go where you want, you're like, dude, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go now. Who knows? You know, tomorrow's not guaranteed or promised. And I think that I think it's a beautiful thing to just go, you know what, I'm going to try and bring my 4 and 7 year old with me to a place that some people could be like, oh, you know, I mean, of course, it's great when it's just you and your partner out and about. You know what I mean? That's important for the relationship. But like, I freaking love it when the three of us do trek around. And I, as I was telling you on the recap of Asia, there were definitely times where I was like, all right, he's just going to stay in the hotel room. He's going to watch his iPad. Couple, I mean, cut to me as a kid, or, you know, on paper, you'd be like, oh, that seems like such a waste. It's like, you know what? Like, he's here with me. It's like your kid tried the snail. He doesn't have to go freaking gaga for snails. That's not the point. You know what I mean? Like, okay, they eat chicken tenders in St. Petersburg. Duh. Sounds good. Whatever. You just,
What are you doing in St. Petersburg?
Oh, you know, I just thought, well, chicken Kiev. I was extrapolating. I'm like, where would they have really good chicken tenders? I'm thinking about chicken Kiev. St. Petersburg is a nice city.
Sure.
It is nice. Sure. Look, Russia has money. Let's be honest. There's billionaires there.
Oh, you can much, much money. Anora was a film I watched on the plane as well, which is, you know, you got to be careful when you're watching explicit content. But, you know, very Russia heavy, and yes, lots of money in Russia, the original oligarchy that we're coming to experience here.
Yeah, they have sushi restaurants there, you know what I mean? I would wager that the land that, you know, is adjacent to Great Chicken Kiev would be able to make a really good tender.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, speaking of international travel, I mean, it's funny because we had Oliver G on, and from the Earful Tower, and he was given tips. And I remember one of his tips, and I tried to keep this in mind, was don't overschedule yourself. Walk around, pivot, see what happens. So my wife and Cece, they had scheduled a macaron making class, which was so cool. So I guess, you know, there are these locals that they give classes out of their homes, out of their apartments. And so a very nice 20-something couple, man and woman, had Shira and Cece over and taught them how to make macarons. And they were the only ones. And so during this time, Zeke and I had to figure out, what are we going to do? And we thought, oh, maybe we'll pop over to the Picasso Museum. But he didn't want to do that. And then I said, hey, there's this other museum called the Pompidou. And I remember going with Shira like a decade ago. And it was very modern and cool and fun. And I thought there might be something for him there. We walk all the way to the Pompidou. And I get to the box office. And they say, there's this one exhibit. But the museum is closed. Do you still want to pay all this money for this one very esoteric exhibit that I was sure my 4-year-old would not enjoy? And I said, no. How long is the museum closed for? And he said, 5 years. I said, okay, good to know. I guess they're doing some renovation or construction. But so, like, we came right in time for the Pompidou to be closed for the next 5 years, which is fine. But now I'm looking at, all right, we've got an hour and a half, buddy. What are we doing? And what did we do? We walked around. We got a few peaches. We got some delicious Paris peaches. We looked at graffiti because we are so close to the that modern museum. I love graffiti. My kids know I love license plates, cars, or no, I love license plates, pizza, and graffiti. These are the things. These are the things they think of me. I enjoy vanity plates, Ollie. I don't know if you know about my passion for vanity plates, which we can cover it's a whole other thing. But, so we did that. We bought a couple, little fake Eiffel Towers, some postcards, and walked around. We walked around Paris, my son and I. I bought a hat. I bought a little hat. Get it for you. Hang on. I'll show you.
He's getting the hat, everybody. He's getting the hat.
Thanks for the narration. So you know, this is probably a little bit more insight into marriage than parenting, but my wife left me for 90 minutes and I bought this hat.
Man, that's exactly the hat I pictured you buying on your own accord in France.
And we met back up, and she said, "What's that?"
It's the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Now let me ask you: do you prefer it
like this? Oh, the other way.
That's almost looks like a baseball cap.
Yeah,
without the brim. Yeah.
I now when you do the profile, I'm really fascinated, but that part's just, to be blunt, disappointing. But necessary. No, you gotta turn it around. You're very Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Like that is a proper Wes Anderson art directed wardrobe. That's more
so
wardrobe,
we she doesn't know I'm wearing this right now, so but we came home and we were going to go out into the world and I put the hat on and she said, so we're doing the hat. So we're sticking with the hat. And I said, I'll save it. And I saved it for this occasion to tell you that story about the hat. But I think it's fun. I needed something to kind of bind my big head of hair. Humble brag. It's something.
I'll tell you, you will get on the Jumbotron faster next time dancing with that thing on. Oh, without question. You know what? I literally, when you picked up that mason jar, I was like, are you making that coffee or drinking it? Oh, wow, my watch is talking to me. I love it when that happens. My version of the solo was built out of a little frustration kind of on my end, and I decided to ditch the family plan and do a little, because as you know, I still do a little food content on the old social media, so I checked out food market, food hall, whatever, while Brearley and Heath went to the deer park, like this whole thing. There's like loose deer everywhere, you feed them. Whatever, there you go. There's deer. Huh? They went and saw deer. I went and ate food, but I loved just having a little solo time. And I think that's what's kind of cool is like, you don't, when you do these vacations, and it's hard because it involves a significant amount of expense and planning, but like, not every second has to be a postcard. That's exhausting. Like, and then the funny thing is you create a postcard worthy memory by just letting it all happen, because it's going to be great no matter what. And I think that's the whole point. It's like, you know, to the opportunity to take your kids while they're in your house under your roof and experience this adventure. And hopefully it'll just plant a seed that, you know, they'll do it with you when they're older. Cause you know, it's crazy. You know, like you kind of, I mean, look, I just, it really just comes out of this. I think when you have a kid, it's like a perfect excuse to savor a moment a little bit more. You know what I mean? And it's weird because part of being a parent, it's like, well, I gotta think, you know, I have to take care of this person, and you know, you want to make money and, you know, provide for the future and all that stuff. Kind of failing on all those fronts, but man, I'm around. You know, I am sure there. Got plans to go to his volleyball game Friday night. Boom. Brearley's leaving town this weekend for a quick little getaway to celebrate a friend's birthday in Colorado. I got to figure out stuff to do with Heath. He'll probably just do his own thing, but I'll probably coordinate some plan. But yeah, we're just gonna do the thing. I don't know what I'm doing, Neil. But I do and I don't. I do and I don't. I don't know where it's all heading, but I think it's okay. I know what I'm cooking for dinner for the next 2 nights. That's a good thing, right?
I saw a clip of Liam Neeson talking to Andy Cohen, and he said, you've raised such fine boys. How did you do it? And he said, I thought I was failing for many, many years. I thought I was a failure at parenting. And Andy said, why? He said, I'm Irish Catholic.
I thought it was because he keeps letting his kids get kidnapped. I mean, you know.
But he always finds them. He always recovers them, right?
I mean, how about my version, never get into the trouble with the Albanians in the first place.
Yeah. How dare you, Liam, put your family in such a precarious position that they even need to be kidnapped?
It's such a perfect country to make a villain. Like, will anyone get upset? Are there, like, people who are like, I'm so tired of the way we Albanians are portrayed and taken?
Well,
oh, is that a thing there?
I had a friend from college who was Albanian. We actually made a sitcom about him. It was called Anything Any. And it was a little bit like Perfect Strangers meets Seinfeld meets Idiots from College. And, you know, he was very big on Albanian pride. It was very important to him. Wasn't John Belushi? John Belushi, he's a famous Albanian. Jim, probably too.
Yeah, probably. Maybe Jim more than John. No, they definitely could be in Taken. You know. If they, you know, were alive. Well, right. James Belushi's still alive, right? He's still around and kicking. We have a future to think about. You've got a whole year. Your kids are in second grade and kindergarten. Are you thinking about college yet? Is it time? Are you thinking?
For myself? I did it. Shouldn't have done that. No, I we're just trying to get through to fifth grade. I think and we're going to do it, and it's going to be great.
So are they in the same school?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, there you go. So you've got that covered. That's great.
Yeah.
And then there's middle
school.
That
part's good. Middle school's going to, you know, that's talk to me in 2 years when my daughter's going into
fourth grade.
Fifth grade.
Yeah.
She'll be going into fourth in 2 years from today. 2 years from today. I mean, not exactly today, but look, it's the beginning of a new year. I just wanted to kind of check in because it's been a minute and I missed you. And I know, like I said, nobody knows, you know, we text, but we haven't done this. We haven't riffed. And it's important, you know, it's great to talk to the experts. It's great to talk to all the different dads, but you know, sometimes we need to just kind of release, shoot the shit. Talk about hunting wives and K-pop demon hunters. And one other thing that, you know, I don't know that you know that we did this summer. Because, we traveled. Yeah, we went to the beach. Yeah, you know, we had some barbecues with friends. But one thing, and this is not a paid sponsorship, though I wish it was. We decided at the beginning of the summer, we went to Dave and Buster's. You familiar with the Dave and Buster's? The old Dave and Buster's?
Oh,
I remember I couldn't get into Dave and Buster's because it was 21 plus and I was like 19 at the mall and they wouldn't let me in. And I'm like, I just want to play the games.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me in.
Yeah.
So now here I am, a 40-year-old man with two children. And we went to Dave and Buster's and it is so wonderful. It's such a wonderful experience. You've got the food and the booze and the games and the prizes. And I sound like Bill Cosby for some reason. And the prizes.
You had to push for that
And we decide, and there was this thing when we were picking the cards, and it said, do you want to buy a season pass? And it was $150.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, that's steep, Ollie. $150? Money doesn't grow on trees.
No.
But we figured, look. Hey, it's, we're going to come back, you know?
That's what it's built on.
And
you're going to be back,
And let me tell you something. We were back, baby. We went six times, and that's including one time that my wife went with a friend in the evening on their own as a fun thing to do. Let's run the numbers on this, huh?
Let's run those numbers.
All right. We've got $25 a visit. I mean, come on. Talk about amortization and fun. Anyway, I can't
know what I'm
enough.
Doing
I can't...
right now. I'm literally.
It's Memorial Day to Labor Day, the Dave and Buster's season pass. Here's a few things you need to know. You max out tickets at 2,000 per week, so it's not as if you can get 50,000 tickets and go get the giant super soaker, you know, every time. 2,000 tickets per week, which is great because you know you get like a little something. My son got the grabber. You know, a little claw grabber. My daughter got a couple mood ring necklaces, you know, they get a couple bouncy balls, some sticky hands, things like this. Useless junk that makes them feel like they accomplished something, they feel fulfilled. So there's that. Also, the gambling games, the games where you can win a ton of tickets at once, those do not apply to the season pass, but it's kind of moot because you have the max tickets anyway, so it's fine. And here's the real beauty of it is oftentimes I have a real scarcity mindset, and when I have the card, I think, all right, well, I played skee ball once, I did it, I'm gonna go use the card for something else. No, you can play skee ball 10 times, 12 times. You're having a good time. Because of the unlimited pass, it really allows you to focus on the fun and less on the, oh, well, I only have so many dollars left to play X games, or, oh, I really want to get tickets here. No, you don't have to worry about it. And so we played Mario Kart. My kids played air hockey for the first time, and they were loving it. Oh, my God. This, you know, when do you have an opportunity to play giant air hockey against your sibling? And just the, even the clicking sound and that little zzz of the of the air, you know, it kind of keeps it. It's so fun and refreshing. Anyway, lots of great memories were made. Cannot recommend highly enough the Dave and Buster's season pass. Again, we were not paid to say this. I am a satisfied customer.
You know, I was literally looking for it, and I'll tell you there's a flip side to this coin. I was at a Dave and Buster's, oh God, sadly, it was probably at least two summers ago, maybe more. And I was like, it was 2023. I remember, I was like, I'm just going to get $100 worth, whatever, right? Just, you know, to use and play. Because, you know, it goes like that. $20, gone. You know what I mean? $50, kind of gone too. You know, you want to enjoy it, you want to have your time. And at some point, probably from 2023 on, I think he had a Switch back then, but at some point, he outgrew Dave and Buster's. Like, yeah, it ended. There might be a world where he might go back, but I just say this, like, now, unlike Europe, or international, Dominican Republic, or wherever, Bolivia, wherever you go next, South Korea, maybe North. Travel will always be there, but Dave and Buster's, there is a time, enjoy it while you can. And it is true, like as adults, it's quite nice as well. There was a real draw to us because there was a time where we were very slow to get Heath video games, because Brearley grew up just a few years before me, where she didn't have Nintendo. Like, Atari was still like, oh, that's cool, it's like what's at the arcade, before home video gaming outpaced the need to go to an arcade, right? You're in the era. I want to touch on this because it's back to school, and our time is fleeting, but I feel like this is worth talking about. What were some of your most memorable back to school purchases for the kids? Like, what did you have to get?
Well, you're kind of outing me that my wife handled all the school supplies.
What did Shira buy?
Lots of notebooks. Okay. We got a list. You know, there was a list of things, and I kind of alluded to it earlier. Because of the French dual language program, the list is like doubled. So it's like double the notebooks, double the paper. I don't understand why. What's Heath using? You know, does he have to have number two pencils? Is that still a thing?
No. He is. I mean, I'll tell you, the big purchase for him, and Brearley was like, this costs how much, was the Texas Instruments graphing calculator. Oh yeah, he got that.
We're still doing that? Why are we still doing that? We have iPhones.
This thing, well, and the second big purchase, we just did this. We gave it to him on Friday. It is Thursday, September 4th. But my son, Heath Kahn, who started eighth grade, officially has his own phone. And it's an iPhone. He has his own iPhone. it was a big moment for us. You know, he's had an iPad, he's had a computer, he has all the VPN stuff to monitor, and there's blocks and things like that. But the phone was new, the iPhone, smartphone, new, and he's got a phone number. And the crazy thing too is he immediately was like, "Oh yeah, well, can I get Snapchat?" And we were like, "No, no Snapchat. We've actually limited. He can watch YouTube, but he doesn't have it on his phone." But yeah. So that was the graphic. I mean, that's a school supply, but the phone was related to school too, because you know, so many kids have it. Pickup is, for some reason, a real. I don't know. It's a zoo this year. It's like a lot of kids are just like, "Hey, call me. I'm over here." Whatever. But yeah, it was time. He's officially got a phone. My kid has a phone.
How do you prevent him from going on those apps? Does he need your fingerprint or password to buy something? Is that how it
I
works?
mean, it's actually pretty profound that whether it's you know, Android or iPhone, you have parental controls. You know, like he's part of, you create like a literally what's called a family. This is true with Google, because you know, he has through gaming and stuff like that, you know, his account, he's a minor. Okay, so when he has an account, he's a minor, and that alone creates all this setup. So it's actually pretty profound, I think, what you know, the big tech companies, all those big tech companies, oh, they're so, you know, but this is something that I think they've done a great job of. But it's all, yeah, it's all under wraps. It's all monitored. We can control the screen time. We can shut that sucker down. You know what I mean? We can shut apps down. I mean, that's part of it. So yeah, I mean, you have all that stuff. It's all the family link or what, however they word it. But the phone's no different than the iPad. So
Now,
yeah.
what about the texting or messaging with friends? How
So,
can you, how do you monitor that?
well, I mean, we literally can physically do that. You know what I mean? And we have, and I want to be careful without giving out too much information about other people and their children and stuff like that too. But there have been already moments several years in the past where, you know, he's on there. They have text threads. He has a text group just for his, you know, quote varsity. It's called 1A volleyball team, right? The communication's been going. It's been going strong. Class chat, stuff like that, and also it's been something to navigate too, because that's also where you know, the complex relationships between children, whether it's, oh yeah, someone was mean to me on the playground, that very much happens in the old cyberspace playground. That is what texting is. And so there already have been big moments to analyze, unpack. Lessons have been learned. Yeah, there's people who literally, like, you're like, uh-oh, that text thread got people into trouble. Luckily, I was on the right side of that, you know, which was good. But yeah, you know, and parents talk about, oh my God, have you seen this text thread? So that's just part of the equation. You
So,
know what I mean?
couple questions.
Yeah.
One, how did Heath get involved in a text thread before he had a phone? How do
iPad,
you?
iPad, iPad.
Okay, so is it an email address? Is
Yeah.
it how do
Yeah,
you do
yeah.
that?
Yeah. You can create an account. Actually, when I text you, it's your iCloud. It hasn't connected your phone number. I don't know why.
Oh,
But yeah.
interesting.
So yeah,
Okay.
you know, you can do iMessage with, and actually something to throw
But
out
is it
there.
his name? But is it his name or your name? That's what I'm confused
No, it's
about.
his account. It's Heath Lee
Huh.
Connick, you know, giving that away. What? Okay. Anyways, but yes, no. You can create an iMessage Apple ID account with an email
Okay.
address. You
Okay.
don't
Now, my
need to have a
second
phone number.
question,
Yeah.
and I think you kind of answered this, is so there is an expectation now from the kids that parents are lurking, watching what's being said. You can't necessarily say something, and expect that it won't be seen by a parent at
Yeah.
some
Well,
point.
I mean, I think the
Is that
reality
right?
is yes. And I mean, I think the reality is like it is a, there is a visual, there's a trying to find the right words. Usually I'm so verbose, but yeah, there's a set of footprints. There's a set of cyber footprints for everything we do. Everything we do, you know? And I mean, shoot, this was, God, probably 10 years ago, maybe more, but there was a really bad incident that happened at one of my alma maters with a bunch of high school kids. And yeah, I mean, it was, people got thrown out of school, you know, because they set Snapchats that were ugly, offensive, wrong. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, pretty, with some hardcore ramifications, as we know too. It's like, well, be careful what you put on Facebook, because you're going to meet an employer who's going to look at that. So all that stuff is there. It's like, it's just, it's a new world compared to what we grew up with. And it's a responsibility. Hence why we're like, yeah, you're not doing
Snapchat. Yeah. I think that's the best way to put it, right? To quote, what is it? Spider-Man's uncle, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think having a phone is a lot of power. There's a lot of cool stuff that comes with it. Access to information and people and games and creation tools. And then as a result, yeah, hey, it ain't free. It literally ain't free. It costs money. But then also there are consequences. And I think if you do it right, you can teach those lessons. But Ollie, I want to wrap up and wish you a wonderful 2025, 2026 school year. And to all the dads and moms and parental figures, or just fans of students, have a great school year. Everybody,
have a great school year. And I'll give you one last pro tip, because hey, we're trying to get on the sponsor tip as well. You'd be surprised, when we got our new phone, it was like, oh, we gotta add extra lines, gonna be expensive. Turns out those carriers are desperate to keep your business, so we're actually paying a little bit less to actually add a third phone, just because we switched to a new plan. A, B, your kid does not need to have the iPhone 16. We got the iPhone 14 for a really good price, like probably less than half. They don't need all the crazy stuff. And it doesn't matter, because a kid gets a new phone and Heath is like, bro, your phone sucks. My phone's better. And that's how we're kicking off this school year.
What's your carrier real quick?
T-Mobile. T-Mobile. We got grandfather. We were Sprint. I mean, look, let's be honest. You find something, you can afford it. Once it hits that certain number, I mean, man, literally over 20 years ago, I've had my plant carrier. I've had a phone since 1999. And I remember in those first couple years when it would be like, oh, you went over your minutes. And like, you're like, oh, damn, I spent $270 this month talking. It's so hilarious. We're talking for free. Yeah.
Wild.
Times have changed.
I've heard good things about T-Mobile because it's free international, and that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we were using WhatsApp. Like, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? You don't talk. Who talks?
I don't talk. Right. Sure. Ollie, have a great year.
Have a great school year, everybody. One and all. To all dads, one and all. Have a great school year. Ho, ho, ho.